This is the Tuesday, February 12th, 2019, PNB National Finance Committee meeting, regularly scheduled, and we are ready to go. So if you could take the roll or call.
Okay. Ken Aaron.
Here.
Nick Arena.
Here.
Chris Corey.
Here.
Joseph Davis.
Here in Houston.
William Heerwagen.
Here, present.
Tony Leon. Larry Denkner. Marple Martin here. P.K. McCary.
Here.
Mansoor Sabah.
Hazir.
Okay, that's eight. We have a quorum.
We have a quorum. All right. So I'm about to send another copy of the agenda around. I'm going to leave a spot open for Max if he has anything to add.
I do. I can, just so you know, I can discuss a few items relative to NETA's work around the audit and some matters around the payroll situation and some new systems that have been put in place there.
Okay, that would be helpful. So I'll put...
Chris, this is Joseph Davis.
Yes, Joseph.
If at all possible, I mean, we've sent in the KPFT budget on order three times. We sent another copy in tonight. I'd like to have it on the agenda somewhere tonight, hopefully.
The KPFT budget?
Yes.
Yes, sir. It'll be on. It'll be on after the report from the executive director on. I'm just going to put various matters.
Okay. Thank you.
And Ken Aaron's motion for a budget overdraft, and the approval of. I guess we need to approve minutes not from the last meeting since there wasn't one, but from the previous one.
Okay. Can I suggest, let me read some a thing or two here and
sure, go ahead.
Get something out of email because not everybody's sending everything to the same place. Okay, let me read what I have and we can see if that seems to be it. What I have is roll call, approve agenda, minutes approval, 5 minutes. Executive director's report, how much time would we want to put in for that?
How much time do you think you need, Maxie?
I would cut it in half unless there's a lot of Q&A. But I would say about 10 minutes.
Okay, we'll go 10 minutes with that. Ken, how long do you need for your motion?
15.
Okay. And then we have 5 minutes. Go ahead.
That would be budget overdraft, maximum amount 15, then report on budget. Okay.
Let me correct that. Let me just say 20 minutes.
Okay, 20.
Ken, this is Joseph Davis.
And
can you send me your motion? I'd like to read it.
I can forward that to you, Joseph.
All right. My screen is going crazy. All right, let me start again, and here's what I have. Roll call, approve agenda, minutes approval, 5 minutes. Executive director report, 10 minutes. Budget overdraft maximum amount, 20 minutes. Reports on budgets from each unit. Now, national office, we don't have anything for. Is there going to be a national office budget report or not?
I don't think so.
That won't be available to April.
Then what we had was KPFA, the budgets, KPFA, KPFK, KPFT, WPAI, WPFW, 5 minutes each, followed by new business, adjourned no later than 10:30 p.m. Eastern time.
That's what I have as well. I'll send that around.
All right. So somebody making this motion, that be the agenda.
So moved, Mansoor.
So moved. Oh, okay.
Chair seconds.
Okay, hold on a second. I am having some kind of a computer mishap here. I've got, all right, 1 second, please. All right, well, please hold on 1 second.
No problem.
Okay. All right. That was interesting. And let me see if I can bring anything up. All right. Hold on 1 second. I'm very sorry, but we just lost what I was writing down about the damned budget. So 1 second, and I will bring it back in here. Okay. So we have... about this. All right, so we have the have 10 minutes for the executive director. We've got nothing from the national office on the budget. And we've got Penn's thing for 20 minutes, then the budgets. All right, so the chair is moving that we adopt this budget.
Agenda, right.
Right. Okay. Have it. So, need to be reread to make sure we got it all again, or?
I think we got it.
Okay. And if we don't, we'll yell later.
Okay. So our first order of business is.
Well, we have to approve it. We have to. Should ask
okay.
If there's any objection to that agenda.
Right. Are there any objections to the minutes as read?
Agenda as read.
Pardon me. Hearing none, the agenda is adopted. So our first thing up is, sorry, my computer is acting a little bit funny too.
Oh, great.
Is minutes approval.
Okay. It's Homeland Security, guys. Homeland Insecurity. So don't worry about it.
I don't know about that. I got a very old computer here running very old stuff. It's entirely possible my video card's dying. I move to approve the minutes of the December 11th, 2018 meeting.
All right. Does anybody object to the approval of those minutes? All right, hearing no objections, those minutes, the motion to approve those minutes is approved. All right, my computer is acting fine now. Okay, so I think, is our next item up, Maxie?
Yes, report from the executive director.
Right.
Okay, so if I'm redundant and you've heard some of this before, I apologize, but hopefully... a lot of this is relatively new. I may have mentioned before, but one of the things that we've recently done is become members of Greater Public. Greater Public is an affinity group within the public media or non-commercial, non-profit media ecosystem that allows us to take advantage of best practices with respect to revenue centers. So everything from how to conduct proper membership drives, individual donor support, how to cultivate major donor support, just a litany of revenue center areas, live events, direct mail, again, just a bunch of things that deal with revenue, and then also marketing. That membership will allow us not only to understand best practices and see research that indicates, you know, what those best practices are. It allows us to be involved in group buys across the entire public media system. We have access to consultation, one-on-one consultation or group consultation in any of the areas. Our members will be able to participate in webinars specifically focused on the different areas of revenue generation. So that membership began at the beginning of this month. The general managers and the business managers are the primary targets for these services. All have been given access to the website for greater public and can access on their own individually any of the, you know, resources that are available there. Greater Public also does a national conference every year. This year's, I believe, in July in Dallas, Texas. We'll get member discounts to attend. It is considered probably the most important public media conference that takes place every year. Executives in marketing and development and new media come from all over the country for this conference, and they have keynote addresses, workshops, panel discussions, you name it. And it's a great networking opportunity as well. And I think our stations are excited about the opportunity. I took a vote of the general managers to decide if membership was a good thing, and they unanimously thought that after hearing the pitch from Greater Public that it was worthwhile for us. And so that membership is in full swing. It was a membership that includes all five stations, the Pacifica Archives, and the Affiliates Director. So that's the first order of business I wanted to share with you all. Another piece that has to do with finance, if you will, is that the national office, thanks to the hard work of Wandrin Desames, who is our operational controller, has established portals, electronic portals for payroll, HR benefits, and the pension plan administered by Primark. She's been able to establish all three of those portals. Nita is in the process of taking over, you know, maintaining that, those portals, or working with the third-party vendors, if you will. But the main thing is that we're very soon going to be training not only the business managers on these systems, but all of the staff at all the stations who these services apply to. We'll be getting training directly from the vendors themselves, so that they can utilize these services. It will allow us to be a much more efficient and effective company, because the employees will have direct access to these three areas on their own. They'll have their own individual password and access points to administer their own situation, whether it be payroll, HR benefits, or pension. So we're excited about the fact that that service is being offered to our employees. Another thing that is probably worthwhile for me to mention is that about a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks ago, I had a lengthy conversation along with one of the members of NETA with the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. The nature of that conversation was in large part to determine what was necessary for Pacifica Foundation to be back in good standing with CPB back in roughly 2012 to 2014, Pacifica became non-compliant and lost its funding effectively in 2014. That's a long time to be without a substantial amount of money in the millions per year, at least a million per year. I think it's much more than that. But the bottom line is the conversation was about an hour and a half long. We met with key executives in the radio division there, the administrator of the community service grant, the CSG, which is the funds that we were receiving previously, to find out what exactly we needed to do. They mentioned a lot of areas of concern with respect to our governance structure. They mentioned things regarding financial management, issues that had happened in the past, They also mentioned everything from open meetings and not being compliant in that way to not being compliant with community advisory boards. And so there's a whole litany of things all addressed in a document that was distributed back in 2014 to the executive director at that time, Summer. I forgot her last name, Reese, I believe. I have that document and I'm going through it with a fine-tooth comb to make sure that when we finish the audits, which we're hoping to have all through fiscal year 18 done by May or June at the latest, that we'll be able to go to CPPB and demonstrate compliance in all of the areas that they've outlined that we need to demonstrate compliance in. Our hope, and this is a sort of transition into the audit, what we've decided to do is speed up our submission of the audits for fiscal year 16, 17, and 18 with the notion that we're going to probably not get good grades. We'll probably be considered a going concern, but we probably would get a poor grade anyway because the finances were so poorly done back in those days that it's almost a fruitless effort to try to do a nice audit presentation that we expect the auditors to give us I won't say a failing grade, but certainly one that is in question and has some conditional elements to it. If under strong advice from the auditors, it was suggested that we rush these, get them done, and really focus on getting them in so that we're at least eligible for the fall cycle of the CSG. And hopefully if we submit fiscal year 19 in a timely manner, that, you know, it might measure favorably from CPB and get us back in the system. I should note, and I meant to say this earlier, that in that conversation with CPB, they noted that we are considered suspended. We are not out of the CSG system, system. We are considered suspended, which means that we just have to, instead of reapplying for the service, we just have to prove that we're compliant, which is a big relief, because if we had been out of their system, the ability to reapply is a much higher bar to accomplish. This just means that we've got to prove, again, that we're compliant, that we've done the necessary things to shore up areas of concern, and that's where we're headed. They thought very favorably of our relationship with NETA. They actually do a conference every year with NETA, and so they thought very favorably about the fact that we are having NETA do our financial management and accounting and helping us with the audit preparation. A couple other things they mentioned that I think are important. They wanted to know if we had any kind of strategic plan. I shared with them the vision statement that I created and shared with the board and members of the Pacifica family and shared it with CPB. I told them very clearly that it is not a strategic plan. It's more of a vision statement and a starting point for the organization in terms of the direction that we've planned ahead, or at least something that has been proposed as such. And so they're reviewing that material now. The main thing that they said was that they're glad to see that there's at least a plan, a strategy, that there's an executive director in place that's not interim, and that their hope is that there'll be some consistency in the position. I say that tongue-in-cheek because obviously it's in my best interest, but they clearly wanted to know that, you know, if a strategic plan was in place, that we have a board that would follow it. That was directly from the horse's mouth. And so it speaks to a bit of skepticism that they have monitoring years of governance issues with Pacifica. But clearly, they're hopeful that we've turned a corner and an EPA in place and an executive director that's not interim, that we're hopefully turning a corner and going to be able to deliver on the promise of what a healthy non-commercial public media service might provide. And so that's pretty much it for my report. I can answer questions if you have any, but hopefully I've covered significant bases there for you.
Mansoor has a question.
I have a question.
Okay.
Okay, question.
We're at 10 minutes right now, folks. Does anybody have any objection to adding an extra 5 minutes to this item? Because I have a question as well.
No.
Hearing no objections, let's extend this to 15 and Who was first on the stack? I didn't catch that.
You go ahead.
I think Mansoor was first, and then okay. I was on there next. Hello, okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Go ahead, Mansoor.
Chris, you can go ahead.
Do you have me on the stack? Hello?
Yeah, yes.
Hello? Yes, PK?
Yeah, PK.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. So I just had a quick, just a very quick question. When, what's the cutoff CPB funding? Do they require that we, do we have to be like 6 months in advance of the end of our next fiscal year or something? I can't remember.
Good question. No, it's a good question. I don't have that. I'd be lying to you if I told you I knew that off the top of my head. But I will try to ascertain that. It wasn't even a question that came up in our conversation with them. It was just the thinking on our part that, you know, there's certain reports that are due to CPB, the SAS, and others that have to do with demonstrating your financial wherewithal outside of federal funding, your public service, et cetera. We're doing those documents now. John Almala is making sure the stations are compliant in that area. We've been doing those, by the way, for years. That's not new for us. But these other issues around the audit and being able to provide accurate financial records as a result is key to that. So I don't have an answer directly for you. Again, the auditor's thought was if we get these audits done by May, June at the latest, that we might be able to get into the cycle for the fall CSG payments. And I think that is a fiscal year kind of October date when those payments go out.
That's what I recalled as well. So, okay, Mansoor, did you have a question?
Yes, thank you. First and foremost, thank you very much, Mr. Jackson, for initiating this conversation with CPB, and it's very long due, and I really would like to help and work with you to implement these changes that the CPB is requiring. What can the board, especially the PNB, to do to expedite the process and make sure our financial paperwork are done appropriately? Thank you.
Yeah, I that's a great question. I think you don't have to worry about the financial stuff, mainly because with NIDA in place, working with the stations, both in an overview capacity and also working directly on WPFW and WBAI and the national office, they're going to handle all that, and they have a lot of experience presenting that material to CPB. So I don't think on the financial side there's anything that the board needs to involve themselves in. Where there might be use is in terms of compliance around the community advisory boards. One of the big concerns that they had was that we were not compliant with community advisory boards back in the day. And my understanding is that we still are not. And so what would be very useful is if you go back to your home stations and find out if you have an actively engaged, documented community advisory board with names, with regularly scheduled meetings, and with minutes and the whole nine, because we're going to need to be able to prove that the community advisory boards are in place. I will take it a step further and let you know that one of the suggestions CPB made, and this is, you know, I think been a controversial, not so much controversial suggestion, but it certainly has caused some buzz from around the Pacifica world, if you will. CPB did suggest that, you know, a thought might be to collapse the local station boards and make them the CABs, the community advisory boards. One of the concerns they had, and again, this is historical in nature, is that they feel that Pacifica is overgoverned, and they thought it was important for us to consider alleviating some of the governance by making the LSBs community advisory boards with advisory responsibilities instead of governance responsibilities, and let that governance play out at the national level, because CPB considers Pacifica one enterprise only, even though they make five distinct payouts.
All right, and thank you. And was there a requirement of some sort of implosion for the LSB and PNB? I mean, do we need something?
It's not a requirement. It was just a suggestion that one way to handle this issue about the community advisory board might be to collapse the LSBs in favor of that. It was not mandatory. It's just a suggestion.
Definitely, I'll talk with our general manager because we used to have a CAB, Community Advisory Board, active twice a year, and it was non-employee and non-board members who were operating it under the general manager's supervision because the person had to report to GM. Is there any documents you can share with us from CPB, or this is just right now conversational?
Yeah, I've already shared the documents that CPB distributed with the board. I can certainly make that available to the chair of this committee. I just would ask that you shoot me an email requesting it, and then I can make sure that I share it, and then you can distribute it amongst the members of this committee. It's not, you know, it's a public document. You can actually find it online, ironically. But the bottom line is, yeah, I can make that document available so that you'll have a clear picture of what we have to do.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Jackson.
Yep.
10 to the stack. 10 to the stack.
Okay.
Up to the stack as well.
I'm next, I think I'm next.
Yeah. You're next, PK.
Okay. Hello, gentlemen. How is everyone? Happy New Year, by the way, because I missed the number in January. The CAB for KPFT has been meeting regularly for 8 months, Mr. Jackson. And they've had two chairs. One was with Public Citizen, was a member of Public Citizen who got us through the first 3 months. And then we got an old CAB member to come to one of our meetings because we started putting up PSAs. To invite people to come to the CAB meeting. Plus, we're doing it at a historical community center, cultural community center in the Third Ward area.
Right.
And we've come up with some really significant plans to do a kind of, we were working with the COI a little bit, you know, just kind of as partners. But mostly, they did a survey a couple of years ago that, I don't know, had about 60 pages to it with only 10 questions that didn't really delve into what some of the problems are that I think Mansoor was talking about and you were talking about, Mr. Jackson. Mm-hmm. And we're taking it a step further to do a town hall meeting that has breakout sessions with a lot of, you know, nonprofits and organizations that we work with to know, do you know about KPFT? Do you... are you a part of it? What do you think would make it better? It's getting the community. I mean, it says community advisory board. And I have to say that the biggest problem for me at KPFT has to do with the fact that we are not diverse and that people are disenfranchised and treated poorly where they don't want to be involved. And I think that that's not a governance thing. That's just not dealing with the issues from the White House to Pacifica. It seems to be part and parcel of the same kind of thing that we don't want to be diverse. And if we're not diverse, then we're not Pacifica Foundation. And I was wondering what the CPB anyway.
No, that's fine. Let me answer your question. If I may, unless you have more.
Sure. No, that was it. I mean, that's
okay. That's fine. So I'll try to be brief with my response. I managed the community advisory boards in New York and in Cleveland when I worked in those markets. The best way to ensure diversity, both geographic, racial, gender, and profession diversity, is to have a slotted community advisory board. If you've seen my recommendation that I've presented when I've gone around to the different stations and presented a PowerPoint, or if you've read document that I produced that gives my vision statement for the organization, I articulate this in some detail. But the most important thing is that that kind of diversity needs to be almost, I would argue, mandated as what the CAB's makeup is. That it should be not by random selection or popular vote or anything like that. The Community Advisory Board at its best should be a complete and total representation of the market served. And that means literally creating a slotted board that has, as I mentioned before, geographic, demographic representation appropriately. And if you do it that way, you ensure yourself the diversity of perspectives and opinion that will make sure that your public service to the community truly reflects the greater community.
Thank you, Jeff.
I think we agree, Mr.
Yeah.
Jack. I think we agree, and that's what I was saying, that in 8 months we've been really, really intentional at reaching out to
I get that, and I'm glad that you guys have one. The problem is only 2 out of our 5 member stations have a community advisory board, so we've got some work to do in that area, but now that it's known, you know, hopefully that'll happen, and I'm talking to the general managers to make sure that they are responsive in that way. Thanks for the question.
Who's next, Ken? Ken, right? Okay. Because I'm next. I got 3 questions. Let me get them. Just a brief answer. The Greater Public Association, what's the annual cost for that?
For the entire organization, it's $22,500. We're paying in quarterly installments, and the stations are paying that fee individually. So all of the units who are involved have assumed an equal proportion of that cost, and we're doing it quarterly.
Okay, equal. Okay.
Yes.
And, on the CAB, is there anything developed where a CAB can be done online through surveys and parties?
Yeah, I've never seen it done that way. I'm not saying it can't be done that way. One of the key pieces to a community advisory board, it really is an opportunity for the station to present itself to the members of the CAB, but it also obviously to ascertain the members of the CAB as to some of the needs, wants, and aspirations of the community. And so when I was in Cleveland, for instance, we utilized the CAB to address various social, political, and cultural issues germane to Northeast Ohio. And they would come in we would meet with them quarterly, and they would present information, upcoming events, issues, new developments that they thought we should either have coverage about or that we should, you know, consider doing some programming or reporting on. So there's a real need for a listening aspect of the Community Advisory Board work. It also should be your way to really stretch your tentacles out into the greater community.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I think most of us have had experience with CABs at the stations. So, but most of us have been participated or established CABs or are aware of them. And, you know, it's in the CPB documents or what it is. But the fact is, let's say KPFK goes from San Diego to Santa Barbara. And it's, let's say it's 14,000 people, and you're going to sweat to get 14 people to show up. So, but that's fine. As far as you know, there's nothing positive or negative about investigating doing it online.
No.
That's the only question. Okay. One last question. At the, when you were talking to the, CPB about, qualification or removing the suspension, was there any requirements in terms of the audience size of the stations or the demographics?
Yeah.
Like what came up on that?
Yeah, great question. I don't recall there being anything specific about the demographic makeup. I know that they sort of have a soft sell about diversity, but it is just that. It's not like hardened in terms of percentages and anything like that. Clearly, the notion of public service is defined in large part by audience. And so they do want to understand that your service is being consumed. And so there is something to that. There's a formula they use. I don't have that. I don't know that off the top of my head. I've really never been at a station that was anywhere near not qualifying in that way. The more germane one, though, is what they call the NFFS, which is non-financial, non-federal financial support. And that is where the numbers that show up in terms of our membership drives will be important for them to look at to determine if our public service is actually valued in the communities we serve. And we have legitimate reason to be concerned with this. I think some of you know that the Houston station has less than 50,000 listeners, 4,000 members. They're not alone. There are a couple other stations in that way. And I would argue the fact that the LA station is ranked, I think, 43rd out of 48 in the market is also troubling. And so we've got some stations across our entire network. I'm sure New York's numbers are questionable. And that will be assessed as part of the equation as to whether, you know, how much money we get in terms of a community service grant.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Okay. Hey, Maxie, I sent you that request regarding the CPB documentation, so just keep an eye out for it.
Okay, great. I will, and I'll send it right back to you.
Thank you. Did we have anybody else with questions for Maxie? I thought we had one more. No? Nobody else? All right. Well, thank you very much, Maxie. I appreciate you presenting, and we'll look forward to a sunnier day in terms of financial reporting.
Well, yeah,
thank you.
Let me just add, if I may, real quick. You know, things are looking up, and I want you all to be encouraged that NEDA is making headway. The audits, I think, because we've sort of refocused our approach, should be done in a more timely manner. We're knocking down some of the barriers every day, but just keep in mind that, you know, as it has told me, every day they're discovering financial management and accounting processes that were tragically flawed. And when they find those things, it forces extra work to unwind them and to make sure that things are accounted for properly. And so, you know, we're not only discovering problems, but we're also moving forward in terms of making sure we've got all the proper materials for the audit. So it's an adventure, to say the least, but we are making headway. And again, we do feel like at some point in May, we should have through fiscal year 18 completed.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
So next up is Ken Aaron's motion for the budget overdrafts. Ken, would you care to present that?
Okay. This is a motion which I think, I'm not sure if it was in force in the past or not. My memory doesn't serve me. It might have been active in 2012, but if it was, it was sunsetted. So I can read it. It's not that long. It's called Budget Overdraft Maximum Amounts. And whereas a major vehicle of management between Pacifica Governance and Pacifica Management is the development, approval, and adherence to budgets for each business unit. And this is from Bylaws, Article 5, Section 1, Paragraph E, Subparagraph 3. Whereas at various times and at each of the business units, management has incurred expenses that have not been itemized in an approved budget. Therefore, be it resolved that official approval by roll call vote of the PMB will be required for any expenditures or incurrence of obligations in any one of the business, in any one business quarter, which accumulated are in excess of the budget overdraft amount. So I'm going to pause here. We're going to set an amount and say, each of the units, you can't overspend the budget more than this limit. This is overspend the budget in any fiscal quarter. Now I'm going to continue. Separate values of this budget overdraft maximum amount will be set by the PMB for the National Office, the Pacifica Radio Archives, the Affiliate Department, and the radio stations. These limits may be updated by the PNB as deemed appropriate and in response to a written request submitted by management and or the National Finance Committee. Be it further resolved that the local station board committees of the radio stations may revise the limit set by the PNB for their station to a lower amount if prudent so advises. Be it further resolved that adherence to this policy will be expected by anyone with authority to make or obligate expenditures or make commitments for outside services, hiring a full-time, part-time, or temporary staff, contractors, or consultants, or the signing of any contract. This includes the chief financial officer, the executive director, general managers, business managers, and anyone else with authority to issue funds or sign contract or obligations. Be it further resolved that the initial values for this budget overdraft maximum amount for the above-mentioned business units will be as follows, starting at the approval of this policy. And I have amounts listed for each one of the units, and those are just, I just put them in there to start. PNB would decide what the actual amounts would be.
Okay.
So I have, like, for the national office, $10,000, and all the other units, $5,000. But let me just give the motivation on this for a second. I'm sure most of us, if we've been around, there have been, a general manager has been lured by some pretty good salesman into doing some kind of a marketing thing or getting some special software or having a conference or something. And, we've lost, I know at my station at different times, $20,000 to $30,000 to $50,000 or $100,000 on a boondoggle type operation. That's not in the budget. So if it's in the budget, good. If we don't have a budget and we don't follow the budget, if we don't have a method of monitoring and correcting when there's the budget, when somebody goes in excess, there's no point really in having a budget. We have to have a method of controlling the expenditures to make sure that within the budget, and this is just to put a cap on anything that goes above what was budgeted. That's the purpose of this motion.
Joseph, to the stack.
Point of order, Mr. Chair.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, this motion appears to be, it's taken from an email that was sent to the PNB. So isn't this a motion that's either before the PNB or has been passed by the PNB already, and therefore... what's it doing in the NFC?
Well, if there was somebody who wanted to present it to the PNB, but that was Alex, but he said, I'd prefer if it went through the NFC because it's finance. So it was not presented to the PNB.
Yeah, I don't recall this motion coming up, so I agree that it has not been presented, and this does seem like an appropriate channel to me.
Mr. Chair, in that case, mm-hmm. It needs to start out, the NFC recommends to the PNB the following. I'll make that as an amendment, all right?
And this is Joseph,
yeah.
I'd like to on the stack.
Okay. Ken, do you accept that as a friendly amendment?
Absolutely.
Well, you have that. Okay. The maker of the motion doesn't own the motion.
Yeah, that's true.
The motion would be that the NFC recommends to the PNB the following motion, and if there's no objection, then it's in there.
Okay, I understand. Thank you. Is there anybody who objects to that idea? Hearing no objection, that change will be made.
Joseph, to the SAC.
Okay. We have several people who want to. I have questions on this as well, but I'll wait. Who is first?
I think Joseph. Me.
Joseph is first. Okay. All right, Joseph. Go ahead.
I haven't heard anybody else. First of all, I basically agree with what Ken is saying. I think a lot of the managers do some spending out of budget that needs to be curtailed. It should be curtailed. By the executive director, but anything we can do, I support is helpful. My objection to the motion is the idea that the any expenditure above this limit in a quarter would go to the PNB. The PNB is far too political, and I don't think it's the appropriate place. I would suggest the motion be amended by changing it goes to the National Finance Committee. It's a smaller committee. We can handle it with a much more civil discussion and a more informed discussion to handle any specific issues. And I think that would, and since it comes from both the treasurer of the station and a director, that would be a better setting for to be considered. And then, of course, it could be then a recommendation from the NFC would go to the PNB to be approved. Also, I object to the portion where the LSBs might be allowed to lower the limit beyond the maximum suggested. And the reason I object to that is because it creates a political financial conflict between the LSB and station management. And since it's really vital to have good relations between each LSB and the management of the station, and I don't see that considering the limit is already low, lowering it more is only going to be contentious and adversarial. So I feel that the limit is already low enough. Having the LSBs involved is just more likely to create conflict and distrust and dislike amongst people. So I think that's part of the motion that should be stricken. So I'm recommending those two changes be made, that it be a National Finance Committee is where it goes to for recommendation to the PNB, and further the section on LSBs be stricken. Thank you.
This is Ken.
How do you want to word that?
Okay, I'd like to actually hear Ken's response if we could.
I agree.
Chair, point of order, Mr. Chair, the secretary needs to hear exactly how the member wants to phrase this amendment.
This is Joseph. I think that let's hold off on exact phrasing until Ken has a chance to respond, and let's shape this into a workable idea. Okay?
Go ahead, Ken.
I agree. I have no argument with the modifications, so I would support that. And in other words, it's anywhere it says PNB, it'll say NFC.
Okay. That seems like an easy enough change.
Okay, that's from Ken.
And then remove it, and then removing the paragraph that allows the LSB to lower the amount.
This is Joseph. I'll type that up and email it in a few minutes.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Joseph. Okay. So I had a couple comments on this. One is that I'm not sure how this will play out in that, okay, so each station has a budget. In the case of just using KPFA as an example, it is both a quarterly budget and an annual budget, but the budgets are fairly far behind, especially in the beginning of the period budgeted. So there's the issue of timeliness on all this stuff. Also, I'm wondering who is going to monitor this and who's going to police this stuff. I mean, the station managers, the executive director, there's a number of people that should be policing this, but it is a bit of work to police these budgets and make sure that they're being followed. I mean, there's a lot of line items in the KPFA budget, for example, you know, dozens, maybe not 100, but dozens of items. So making sure that those budgets, those budgetary numbers aren't exceeded is a task in and of itself. I understand the second half of that is, of course, what's the penalty? You know, what is to prevent people from going over budget, even if the item is policed? So I'm just a bit curious about the basic mechanics of this proposition, of this motion, and how it would be monitored, how it would be policed, and what would be the mechanism by which this motion would actually be implemented and upheld. Maxie to the stack. Go ahead, Maxie.
Madam Chair, Mansoor was on stack, sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mansoor. I knew that we had one other one out there.
All right.
Do you mind if Maxie responds to my question?
That's fine. I was going to speak of almost the same line. So maybe he can address both of our concerns.
Okay, that would be great.
We might be complimentary. I was going to say that, you know, if a budget is submitted, clearly the board, the local station board, has the opportunity to review those budgets on either a quarterly basis, probably even more frequent than that, if so desired. And if it was observed that certain expenditures exceeded the allocated amount, then you can reprimand. I don't think you can monitor it in real time. I think you make a valid concern there, but I don't think the expectation is that it would be monitored in real time. This is more of a retroactive penalty for violating policy.
All right, so it'll be done through a review process. That's the answer to that part of the question.
Joseph, is this factor?
Okay, I believe that we have Mansoor squeezed in there, and then I'll get you in, Joseph. Mansoor.
All right, thank you. I think this is again, it falls into the category of a micromanaging. We do have an executive director who's now acting as a CFO. To simplify this motion, it could be said that if a general manager wants to spend X percentage more than what allocated in the budget or X amount of dollar above this and that, needs to get approval from executive director, because if the executive director is overseeing the foundation and the general manager wants to spend, let's say, $15,000 to buy a software, I can guarantee you that general manager needs to talk to the executive director before implementing and buying that software. So I think this is a micromanagement again, and I agree with Joseph. Take the LSB out of it. Let the executive director manage what he or she's supposed to do, and then the PNB will step in if the executive director needs any help. That's my approach. Thank you.
Thanks, Mansoor.
Our fault, Mr.
Okay. Joseph?
Okay, I just wanted to say, for instance, Article 7, Section 3, Item A of the bylaws specifically says to review and approve, this is the LSB's responsibilities, LSB's, to review and approve that station's budget and make quarterly reports of the foundation of directors regarding the station's budget, actual income, and expenditures. So the LSBs, if they're doing their job, and I would like to compliment KPFT and PK McCary for really putting a great deal of effort into that, should be monitoring the situation and reporting to the National Finance Committee on these issues. And I think that it's not micromanagement. We are supposed to be watching these numbers, and I think that the fact that they don't get watched is exactly why Mr. Aaron seems to be motivated, and I agree. So I think that it is, I support that we have this motion, and I think what it does is by approving it, it will show the executive director, who will have to do all the implementation anyway, that at least the will of the PNB is supporting a more adherence to budgets and expenditures. Thank you.
Thank you, Joseph. Did you want to comment?
Our poll for stack?
Yeah, go ahead, our poll.
Okay. All right. We've already had this, and I don't know that it's had a sunset on it. And I remember a certain station having the general manager have certain limits put on what could be spent at any one time. And after a very short time, more was being spent. I can tell you that at BAI, we had a thing where people uncovered a $50,000 expenditure that we hadn't been told about on the local finance committee, and that, was kind of just happened. And what the station got for it was pretty much zero. It was an absolute waste of money, and this at a time when the station was greatly struggling. And what to do about that? Well, in the times where we've had a motion that was like this. I mean, I don't think there was a sunset, but if there was, stuff was happening while this was still in effect, and nothing happened. So, you know, what happens with this? It's a nice thought. I agree that the general managers should be made to adhere to the budget and not go running off spending money on non-budgeted expenses that nobody else even knows about. But how are we going to make this work? Because in the past, I can guarantee you, it has not worked. So I think that's the main thing. We can pass motions about, you know, it's going to be the PNB or the LSB or this, that, or the other thing. But if the general manager never tells anybody, then you have to rely on a leak in order to get anything about it. So I don't know. How can we actually do this? How can we make this work? That's my question.
Mansoor would like to be on stack briefly, 30 seconds.
Go ahead, Mansoor.
All right, thank you. I think we do have we passed a motion at KPFK a couple of years ago. If the GM wants to spend $5,000 and more, needs to get approval from LSB. So that is already in place. Thank you.
All right. There was somebody else who spoke up there. I couldn't make it out.
That was me.
PK, go ahead.
I'm the only girl, right?
Yeah, I couldn't.
I must have a deep voice. It's okay. I'm just messing with you. I'm the girl. You also know this voice of a woman. I just wanted to say that I think that the motion has merit because it helps keep the Finance Committee on their toes about their job. You know, one of the things that is heartbreaking is to have an LSB member go into the general manager and tell him or her what he or she is doing wrong. And since there are not very many female managers, it's usually a he. And it just stirs up things. One of the things that I think in the difficulties that it took us to approve a budget, to get a budget done, and to take it to the LSB is that everybody's got their opinion or their ideas of who should do what. And, you know, the fact that we were paying somebody that we didn't know that we were paying and we were taking money out of our payroll, almost it feels like malfeasance, right? This is an SOP. This is a motion that sets the standards. We're not going to go up and beat up the general manager. We're going to do our reporting quarterly to the LSB. We're going to answer the questions, but somebody in, you know, the Finance Committee needs to pay attention, and the only way to pay attention is to have those regular, you know, meetings and to have a policy within those meetings of what we're looking for and what we're asking for and whether or not the treasurer can go in and look at something along with the director. I think what Aaron and Davis are doing is raising the vibration a little bit to say we're going to trust each other, but we're going to have a policy and standards by which we do this. I think it's really, really important to do it. And as Davis and Aaron have kind of fixed it for us, I'd like to see it implemented, because the one thing that we did as a Finance Committee was that we really started listening to each other, even though it was hard.
Understood.
30 seconds, Joseph? 30 seconds?
Go ahead, Joseph.
All I wanted to say is I understand what R. Paul said about how do we get these things implemented. Ultimately, this falls on the executive director, but what the PNB does and our committee does falls victim to a lack of proper documentation, our motions and things that we do. I remember talking to him, and he has to dig through old minutes of old meetings to try to find motions. They should be in a central repository, stored in the central office, and be published in such a way that they're easily findable. This is a governance issue, not really appropriate to the National Finance Committee, but for all motions from all committees, we certainly need the executive director to do that, but that should not dissuade us from trying to pass good motions, and I think this is a supportable motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Joseph.
Yeah, William Hairwagon for the sec.
Okay, William, you haven't had a word tonight, so I'm gonna let you speak. We're actually at 21 minutes now, but I would like to hear.